This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
He tells a story about a man who was opening up his own business. It was a fish business, and so he rented one of those signs you get that have the theatrical look to them. There are lights inside them, and they shine on a highway both ways. You've seen them at businesses. Perhaps a little out of date now, but that's what he had. And his sign said this: fresh fish for sale today. Put his sign out first day of business. A friend came up to him that knew him and said, hey, everybody knows it's today. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. Take down the word today. You don't need the word today on your sign. So he took down the word today. Just said fresh fish for sale. Somebody else came along and said, you know, everybody knows you're selling your fish. Why would you need to use the words for sale? Take down the words for sale. Took them down. It said fresh fish. Another person came along and said, well, hopefully your fish is fresh. Hopefully you're not selling rotten fish. Take down the word fresh. So the sign said fish. And then his last friend came along and said, hey, I can smell that fish a mile away. You don't even need to advertise it. Just take down the word fish. And he had an empty sign. And Ronnie Hanna says two things about that story. When you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody, which is good advice for all of us. When you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody. But the second lesson was the most important. Ronnie Hanna said, put your sign out in life and stand by it. Put your sign out in life and stand by it. What we're going to talk today about is putting your spiritual sign out that simply says this: I happen to believe in a God of creation, a creator God, who created this universe, who spoke it into existence. Now, the whys and the wherefores, all the details, you can decide some of that on your own, obviously. It's a personal choice there, but you believe in a creator God. You believe in a redeemer. That redeemer happens to be the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, and you happen to believe in the sustainer of life, the Holy Spirit. And you put that sign out in life, and then you stand by it, even when you have people come up to you and say, you really don't believe in a creator God, do you? You're not one of those crazy people that actually believes there is a God. Yeah, I am. And I do believe that God spoke this universe into existence. You're not one of those people who really believes this Jesus thing, that he died for our sins and that he rose again. You believe that resurrection story thing. Yeah, I do believe that. You're not one of those real crazies that believes in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's, you know, works in our universe and works in our lives. Do you really believe that? Yeah, I do. I'm going to put my sign out and stand by it, that I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to read today, as we continue our series in Psalms, what I consider to be one of the top 10 statements out of the Old Testament. If I were to pick the top 10 phrases out of the Old Testament, this would be in my list. It's Psalm 14, beginning at verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anytime you see the word fool in the Bible, it's not talking about somebody with a low IQ. It's not talking about somebody with a low SAT score or ACT score. It's not talking about with somebody with a room temperature IQ. That's not what the word fool means. It's somebody, a man or woman or young person, who says, I willfully choose to reject God and reject his word. That's what a fool is, biblically. A fool is a man or woman or young person who willfully, by choice, says, I reject the idea of God and I reject the idea of his word. That person, according to the Lord, not according to me, is a fool. Is a fool.
Well, that may sound like strong language to you, but it happens to be what the Lord says. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Dr. Barry McCarty is a friend of ours from Dallas, Texas. He used to be the president of Cincinnati Christian University. He ministered in Atlanta when we were there. Now he's in Dallas, Texas. He's an avid bicyclist. But he talks about a book that some of you are familiar with. You may have even read it. It's called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 3 years, sold more than 7 million copies in 34 languages. But he doesn't write about what I would call the biblical God that you're familiar with or I'm familiar with. It's the God of whatever you want. It's the God of your feelings, and whatever God you feel there is out there, go with your feelings. Don't trust the Bible. Don't trust any person that calls himself or herself a religious leader. And part of that I would agree with. But when he says, don't trust the book, don't trust the Bible, just go with your feelings, it's kind of a feel-good God, whatever you want your God to be. I do not believe that is the God of the Bible. In fact, I would call that practical atheism. Now listen to this story that Barry tells. He said, about 4 years ago, another cyclist crashed into me during a training run. I went down hard, and both the other cyclist and his bike came down on top of me. I lost a lot of skin, suffered deep gashes. My left ear was sliced in two, but the worst of it was that I had a skull fracture and a concussion that put me in intensive care for 4 days. I'm really happy that when the paramedics got me to the hospital, they didn't call in anybody who had been to the Neil Donald Walsh Conversations with God School of Medicine. They called in a neurosurgeon. He didn't ask everyone in the emergency room to hold hands and talk about their feelings as what should be done to treat me. No, he carefully examined my injuries, ordered lab tests, several x-rays, and a CAT scan of my skull. Then, based on the best available evidence, he prescribed a course of treatment in accordance with the principles of medical science. What's his point? He says you believe in God in the same way. It's not let's join hands and we'll just believe in whatever God comes to mind. We believe in the God of the Bible, the God who in Isaiah said, I am the Lord, there is none other, and I will not tolerate infidelity in anyone, is the summation of that verse. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I will not share my glory with another. I am the Lord God of Exodus, who said, you will have no other gods before me. He didn't say, take your pick of what's out there. You will have no other gods before me. And we're talking about the God, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You talk about politically incorrect, politically insensitive, politically nuts, is to hear those words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if it's true, it's the most important statement in the universe. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 again, if we could. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one that does good. There's two kinds of atheism. There is the atheist who is what I call the intellectual atheist. The intellectual atheist has said, I've made up my mind, there is no God. And there are people like that. You have met people like that. I've met people like that. You met people in your family that are like that. But you know what is more scary than the intellectual atheist? It's what I call the practical atheist. What's a practical atheist? A practical atheist, get this, is a man or woman who goes to church on Sunday but lives as if there is no God. That's a practical atheist.
Well, maybe you're a person who's never heard that term before, a practical atheist, and yet it's very descriptive of people today in 2018. We'll continue this message tomorrow from Psalm 14 on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
Practical atheist, get this, is a man or woman who goes to church on Sunday but lives as if there is no God. That's a practical atheist. The practical atheist can be a minister who preaches in a church, and I've met ministers like that, but privately tell you, I don't believe in the virgin birth. I don't believe in the resurrection. I know the older people like it, but I'm not into that stuff. And they preach every Sunday. Not kidding. I've met people like that. Practical atheist. Somebody in everyday life lives as if there is no God. And I want to say this as lovingly as I know how. The intellectual atheist, the practical atheist, fools. Fools, not in my mind, but in the mind of God, who Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What is it that you say in your heart? What does that phrase mean? When you go to bed at night and you're thinking freewheeling thoughts and you're talking to yourself, and everybody does what I call self-talk, you believe everything you tell yourself. You know what I mean by that? You believe everything you tell yourself. You may not believe what other people tell you. You may not believe things your brother or sister tell you. You may not believe an uncle or an aunt, but you believe everything you tell yourself. Therefore, it does make a difference what you do tell yourself. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. John Clayton is from Niles, Michigan. Grew up in the home of an atheist, and I've never heard anyone say this. He said, I became an atheist in the same way that a child who grows up in a Christian home becomes a Christian. I never heard anyone put it that way. He said, my mom and dad not only did not believe in God, they made fun of anything to do with the Bible. They made fun of anybody who was a Christian. They mocked them. And he said, that's the environment I grew up in. So when he went to IU, Indiana University in Bloomington, got degrees there, and he also got a degree at Notre Dame in geology and physics. As a scientist, he said, I grew up with that mentality. And he was going through the Bible with the intent of pointing out stupid things in the Bible. And in the process, the Lord God Almighty got a hold of his life. That's an exciting story because he said, I came out of it. It was natural for me. But when I was exposed to the truth of God's word, something happened in his heart. He came to know Christ. I want to talk to you about families and what we teach our children. Vaughty Bacham is a great writer. I've been introduced to him recently. He wrote a book called Family-Driven Faith. He said, a family without a commitment to the God of the Bible has no hope of stemming the tide of cultural onslaught. If we mix a little biblical truth, a little secular psychology, a little romance novel ideology, a little Eastern mysticism, we get a deadly mixture of lies. What a statement. We get a deadly mixture of lies. Unfortunately, he says, this is what many Christian families do. We do marriage according to Dr. Phil. We raise our children according to Dr. Spock. We govern our sex lives according to Dr. Ruth. And we only run to Dr. Jesus when things have gotten so bad we can't find anybody to help us. We run to Dr. Jesus as a last resort. Vaughty Bacham has nailed it on the head. People who seek after anything but the Lord. And did you notice what it says in verse 2? The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. God is looking down from heaven. What a picture that even a child can understand. God's looking for men and women and teenagers and young people who seek the Lord, who seek to understand who God is. And you know what? When you seek the Lord, something happens. He finds you. When you seek the Lord, he finds you. I ministered for 6 years in Atlanta and to a much older congregation demographically. Let me tell you one of the powerful things that happened. By having so many elderly people, people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, I came in contact with a lot of World War II veterans. I ended up doing the funerals for a lot of World War II veterans. I did one funeral that I will never forget. I did a funeral for a man who not only fought in World War II, he fought in Korea, then turned around and went to Vietnam. I didn't know there were people out there who were in all three, but he did. World War II at the end of the war with Korea and then the beginning of the Vietnam War. You talk about an interesting life in the military. I was talking to that gentleman. But the most interesting situation I had in that light is this. There was a man in the church by the name of Ski, S-K-I, Bushinsky. Ski Bushinsky. During World War II, he flew on a B-25 in the South Pacific. And 2 or 3 years before his death, he told me a story that I ended up telling him. Somebody ever told you a story out of their life and you end up using it and say, I want to tell you a story about somebody and it's them, that person. That's what I had the opportunity to do. The time came when Ski was found out one day that he had about a month or two to live. Some terminal illness, he called me. And I said, I'll be right over, Ski. Went over to talk to him, and he said, Randy, why would God permit this to happen? He's in his 80s, and I said, I just got a month or two to live. And that he was right. He only lived about 60 days after that. And I said, Ski, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story that you told me about your life. He had told me that when he was flying as a crew member in the B-25 in the South Pacific, they were assigned different crews. He would fly with one crew with his job assignment, and he would be told, you're going to be on such and such an aircraft, and here's the pilot and the co-pilot, here's the navigator, here's the crew you're going to fly with. Got his assignment for one particular day and was getting ready to go when another airman came over to him and said, Ski, do me a favor. I don't like the pilot or the co-pilot of the flight I'm scheduled with. Would you trade with me today? Would you let me take your flight and you fly on the aircraft that I'm scheduled to fly on? And they got an officer to sign off on it, did the paperwork, and got the change. And some of you are ahead of me. You know what happened that day. The aircraft that Ski was supposed to be on was shot down that day, and all aboard were killed. And I said, Ski, do you remember telling me that story? He said, yeah. I said, the same God that had his hand on you in 1944 is the same God that's got his hand on you now with cancer. And the same God that was with you then in the 40s is with you now in this year, in this generation, in this century. And I said, Ski, do you see where I'm going with this? That the God who was with you then is with you now, no matter what happens. I think it helped him. And I want to tell you this. I would have never had that opportunity. I would never had that opportunity to share with him those thoughts if it weren't for the fact that both Ski Bushinski and I believed in a creator God and believed in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and believed in the Sustainer, the Holy Spirit. What would have I said to him had I not been a believer? What would he listen to had he not been a believer? I was able to offer him hope, get this, based on what he believed. Put your sign out, stand by it. I believe that God is the Creator. I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit that lives and works in my life and guides me. And I believe in the God who's with me when you're flying in a B-25 in World War II and a God who's with me when I've got 60 days to live. It doesn't matter. God is God. He's still on the throne. He's still the Redeemer. He's still the Sustainer.
Now then, today, part 5 of the message we began on Monday from Psalm 14 that simply says, the fool has said in his or her heart, there is no God. What a statement. Hopefully it doesn't describe you. You're a person who believes in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's continue with the conclusion.
How do you seek the Lord? Through His Word. How do you seek the Lord? By being in worship together. How do you seek the Lord? By being in the presence of other believers. You find yourself doing this. You know, I think I would like to be around some Christian people. I think I would like my children to be around other Christian people. And there may have been a time in your life when that would have been the last thing you would have done. But something happens as the Spirit of God touches your life and the Lord God Almighty begins to work in your life in such a way that you start seeking things, seeking people you never thought about seeking before. Tell me what you seek in life and I'll tell you what you love. Tell me what you seek in life and I'll tell you where your loyalties are. Tell me what you seek in life and I'll tell you what gets your time, talent, and treasure, because we will always worship and adore that which we seek. And the Lord looks down from heaven and He's looking for men and women and young people who seek the Lord. Maybe the most important volitional decision somebody could make in this service today would be to say, today, starting today, I'm going to seek the Lord in my life. I've been seeking everything but God. I've been seeking a promotion. I've been seeking a new house. I've been seeking a new car. I've been seeking an education. Nothing wrong with those things. But today you decide, beginning today, we're going to seek the Lord. And as a family, we're going to do the same thing. Carl Sagan, great scientist. I respected him while he was alive. Watched him on Johnny Carson, like many of you. And Carl Sagan would say something that really grabbed my heart one day. He said this, the only thing that's permanent, the only thing that is eternal is the universe. And people who heard him speak said, yeah, that's right. The only thing that is permanent, the only thing that is eternal is the universe. Do you know what that makes the universe? God. He simply worshiped the God called the universe. I worship a God that the Old Testament called Jehovah. And we call God the Father, like as a father who has compassion on his children. Psalm 103 would say, so the Lord is to us, and we serve his Son, Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln would say, I can understand why a man would look down on earth and be an atheist. He said, but I can't understand how a man could look up in the heavens and say there is no God. He would have to be a fool. He would have to be a fool. That's what the Word of God says. Decide today you're going to put your sign out and you're going to stand by it. Has nothing to do with fish. It has to do with your faith. Has nothing to do with selling something. It has to do with your identity. I am a man. I am a woman. I am a young person who believes. Believes in the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And I've accepted His Son, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. And I do believe this is a top 10 statement of the Old Testament personally. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the best definition of practical or intellectual atheism I know to give. It's foolish. Not because I say so, but because your Holy Spirit says so.
Well, my friend, are you willing to admit that the most foolish thing that you could say or I could say would be, there is no God? And the wisest thing that we could say are three words, Jesus is Lord. Crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.